Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello, everyone. It's Red News Podcast 80. And finally, we've got some football to talk about. So it means we're coming to the end of quizzes and things. Thank fuck for that. I bet everyone's quizzed out. And I've already sworn. And I was going to start this podcast with an apology because when I edited it down last time, my swearing was horrific. Oh, I'd have been told off as a kid. So apologies for that, because it was horrendous. I don't realise I'm that bad. I'm very tired today, because running after a five-year-old, the energy levels are just relentless. And I think if we carried the energy levels of a five-year-old till we get old, we'd be unbreakable. We could do anything. So I was thinking, what the positives of the lockdown? I think I've learned how to make aloo gobi. That has made me so happy. Being with my boy, but knackering, as I said last time. I've learned that my wife's deodorant is better than my own. I've really enjoyed that. I've learned I can avoid drinking in the week if I put my mind to it. So, we're going to talk about Friday at last, some football. I think my own view is, and I don't think it's a bad thing that you can change your mind in life. So, as you know, I've been against it vehemently. We all know it's for the money. They're not doing it for fans. We're not going to be there. But I look at it that if we're not back at football possibly for a year or less than a year, hopefully, that's a year out of our lives. So do I want our players not to play for a year? No. Do I want, in an ideal world, us all to be there? But if the players want to play, I'm tired of what the world has become, the shittiness, the horrible racism. And it's not ideal, but I think we all need something, a little bit of an outlet. So I have softened it. It's going to be shit. You know, the theme music, if it's true. I think they're saving loads of stuff for when the games start, and it's going to be terrible what they do. But I just think, oh, I can't be asked fighting another fight. So let's see what it's like. We know all the ills it's for, but at least we've got some football to talk about. I'm joined by Ben, Nathan and Nick. I will start. We're going to do a proper tribute in the mag for Tony Dunn. But I was reading Jimmy Murphy's book again, Matt United and Me, and he was putting about his best ever team, and he debated who he'd have as left back. And he put, the left flank of the back four creates a problem to me because Roger Burns set the pattern for modern fullback play with his attacking flair and speed of recovery. But with respect to the memory of a great player, I'm going for Tony Dunn. The reason I go for Tony? Roger was brilliant on the left side of the field, but tactics have advanced so much since Munich that defenders of today's era need to be great readers of the game, who can not only cover their own side of the field, but also the middle and the opposite flank when danger arises. For that reason, I give Tony Dunn a narrow vote of confidence. And if he made Jimmy Murphy's all-time United 11, that's good enough for me. So obviously, very sad, because sometimes an unsung hero, even they won a European Cup. So we're going to do a quiz later, but finally, you lot. Right, so Ben, it's back. What do you think, mate?
What do I think?
Of Friday and the return and everything.
On Friday. Yeah, I think it'd be the same as you, really. I mean, I wrote the mag, and I think if you looked at the tone of the last mag, most people seem to be dead against it coming back. But I'm probably softened on that, really. And I suppose where I am now is that if it's safe to do it, in terms of the player's safety, which I think it probably is, there's always going to be a level of risk, but I think, you know, being proportionate about it, it's probably safe for the players. If the testing is not taken away from the NHS, then there's no reason not to go ahead and do it, really. You know, I think it'd be great if we could all be there to see it. But given that's going to be some months, you know, best case scenario, that's going to be some months away, then I think it makes sense for them to finish the season. And, you know, to be honest, the 3 months of watching reruns and doing quizzes, I'm quite looking forward to actually watching some live football. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, Nick and Nathan have currently got a Portuguese game on, so they are obviously desperate as anything to watch. Who are you watching?
Alves against Porto. Porto just had a penalty saved. Right. If you were interested.
So your desperation is obviously, I presume you both can't wait now.
But I think, like everyone said, we've all gone through phases, haven't we, of whether we believe it should happen or not. But yeah, right now, like obviously, I've had a few weeks of the German football, and I'm looking forward to having it back. Part of me is like, when I realised that the FA Cup was back, I was a bit more excited about that. Like, maybe it's just because we know that we're like still in it, and it's a good. We're starting off in the later stages of it, but I don't know. Part of me is just more excited about, even though we're obviously not going and we're not able to be at the games. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I know that we've still got a chance of winning something, that you know, there's a bit of extra excitement for that. But
Nick,
yeah, it's nice to have it back, isn't it? Really, I mean, we were talking, weren't we, a couple of weeks ago about saying that it'd be nice if we could have it back in its normal form. If you can't have football without fans, then don't do it. But I think after these last couple of months, I think, you know, when watching a load of German football and watching crap like this, Portuguese league stuff now, but, you know, it's different when it's your own team, and it, you know, you've got a vested interest in them, and, you know, you've got an attachment a bit more to this squad, haven't we, over the last few months since all these coming up, Jose and stuff. So I think that's kind of got my excitement going a little bit more. Like, I actually like the squad. It's not the best, you know, obviously we know it can be improved, but I think realistically I'm starting to get a bit of an attachment to the team. You know, I actually give a shit a bit more about them now, so I am quite excited about it. I think it helps that it's a good game. You know, obviously Spurs are a decent side, aren't they? They've got some good players. It's not like we're, you know, we're playing Villarreal or something like that, where it's not quite as exciting. So yeah, well, and it's on a Friday night, you know, hopefully if the weather's nice we can get straight into Nathan's back garden.
Socially distancing. Is he in your bubble now?
Obviously.
Have you chosen? Nathan was your choice of bubble, was he?
He was, but then he rejected me and he decided to choose his dad instead. A bit wrong, that, isn't it?
I offered mine away, because if you can't actually drink in a pub with anyone, then I gave it away like a panini sticker. You choose who you want in your bubble. It's not. It means nothing to me, this. I'm not going to meet a mate in a park, am I, and go, well, hello, how are you doing? Unless it involves alcohol.
The bubbles, so you can go in their house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but no one would want me in their house, Nathan. Especially the end result would be. Can we leave him?
Just get in the habit of drinking off our benches. Socially acceptable now.
But getting back to the actual football, I just think, you know, it's so, everything's complicated these days, but you can't expect, say, we're going to get on to Rashford, but you can't say to Marcus Rashford, because we're not there, you can't play for a year, can you? It just wouldn't. And Ben made the point on our WhatsApp group, you know, we were saying last May after Cardiff how we didn't have heroes anymore, we didn't have any people in that team, and now look at the fantastic things Rashford is doing, and you think, and as Nick says, we're starting to care a bit more about him.
Nick
said, I agree with that. I mean, Rashford obviously highlights it particularly today, but, you know, as a group, you know, the talent-wise, they're a little bit short still, but, you know, I think you can't really fault the effort this season before it finished, even before the good run towards the end. You know, they just look like a decent bunch of lads who do actually care about the shirt and want to play.
There are nags, you know, like Burnley. I was reminded of Burnley at home again today. And you think there are doubts, but you don't know. And the rumours are, I spoke to Laddett, who's, you know, not much at Carrington, but he says, we look sharp, but you don't know until you come up against another team. But there's a happiness about, and they look. I'd be surprised if we look, I hope, as rusty as, like, yeah, say, Arsenal did in the highlights last week.
So the difficulty is, I mean, it's effectively a new season, isn't it? So we were on a really good run of form. And I would say that's not going to count for anything, because there'll be some momentum there. But, you know, it's been 3 months between last, wasn't it, and any competitive football. So it's going to take a bit of time to, you know, however well good they've looked in training. I think Guardiola said today, they were asking about, you know, how fit the City team were, and he said, they don't know until the season tomorrow night. which is a fair point, because, you know, they've not really played anybody. You know, they kick around with West Brom and change ends at half-time, whatever it was. But, you know, I think until teams start playing, realistically, it's going to probably take two or three games for every team to get up to any kind of level.
That's why, like Nick's saying about, it's good that we've got a big game to start off with, but is it? Because, like you say, like, I know that Spurs are in exactly the same situation as we are, so anything could happen, but part of you would rather maybe get ease yourself in on a...
Yeah, but then I've looked at the fixtures and I've not really taken them in. You know what I mean? I couldn't tell you now. I know, I think it's Sheffield United at 6 o'clock next Wednesday, is it? But I haven't really, because we're not there and it's not proper, I haven't really, and they haven't announced the second lot of fixtures, which is almost like they're saying, well, we'll see how they get on and can we trust them enough to get, I mean, I don't know, are the players staying at hotels the night before?
I'm not sure.
God help Phil Jones in a car on his own. No.
Surely everyone in the squad's allowed to be, you know, they're all training together. You'd think that that's the same as being on a bus.
But you think they've all been tested before they get on? If they're all tested clear the day before, there's no reason why they shouldn't be on a bus together.
But that's what I mean. There's some information they're just limiting from letting us know. It's almost like they're treating us like idiots, you know, that, oh, they don't, we won't tell them. And I don't know.
I mean, if no one's been in the Lowry, then why can't they stay in there?
Well, hotels are opening up at the start of July, 22 weeks off.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a quiz and then go back to the game. I will admonish Nick, because we had a protest over the last quiz where he said that Van Persie was the last player to score a hat-trick, and Finno pointed out that it was Zlatan in the Europa League against St Etienne. So naughty Nick.
Bad Nick.
Although you have amended yourself, because you've done the most manly thing you've done all year today, haven't you? Clearing gutter in, aren't it?
Yeah.
Because of the storms?
Yeah, but then he had a burrito without the wrap, so that it evens itself out there.
Yeah, why didn't you have the wrap with your burrito?
It's just healthier, isn't it, without like... Ah,
what's the point?
It's just what we do, isn't it, Monday to Thursday in the South, so we just eat healthily.
Rock and roll, Nick. You're an age where you don't need to live healthily. Well, all right. So, I thank a long-term reader and lovely lad, Paul Nashy, for these questions. I'm going to amend one of the last ones. It's 12 questions and 15 points are up. Okay. Paul Nash did more, but as it's maybe the last quiz, I'll just try and fit in as many as we can. Some are all right. So, question one: how many league titles did United win in the 1960s? Has Nathan got? Nathan's going to get a pen and paper.
No, I'm in.
All right, Nick, you got that?
Yeah.
Two. In what year of the 1960s did Best, Law and Charlton first play together in the league? Now, this is a good one. Number three, who was United's record signing of the 1960s? I'll go through them quick for Nick, don't I? Sorry. Number four, who did United play in their first game in the second division? 74-75. Number five, what was our highest position in the league under Ron Atkinson? Number six, how many league goals did Cantona score in his United career? Now, Paul's put plus or minus three. I'm gonna be fair and go plus or minus five, you're allowed. Question 7. Do I sound like Bamba Gascoigne? Yeah. Who won the Sir Matt Busby Player of the Year Award for the 1989-90 season? Question 8, and this you get, there's 2 points at stake, so just choose two of the four. In the 1980s, four players scored on their competitive debuts. In the 1980s. Name two of them. That's a hard one. You'd know one, I think. Just guess two of the four. Number 9. For which team did Dwight York sign for when he left United in 2002? Question 10. Who was top scorer in the successful 2017 Europa League competition? Do you hate me yet, Nick? Well, don't hate me, hate Paul.
This is how you lot feel. I've just realised.
And number 11. Who was the only permanent paid signing of the 2006-2007 season? Who was the only signing, permanent, that we paid money for in the summer before, for the summer for the 2006-2007 season? Good, these. Right, then number 12. There's 3 points up for grabs. Now, you probably, I'll give you, you lot will have an advantage because you heard this. Name three of the top 11 own goal scorers that have played for United. So they've scored own goals for us, i.e. for the other team. Fucking hell, I'm making hard work of that. They've scored own goals for us, but they've been against us. Right, you should get all three of those because I did that for you.
Yeah, I've got all three of them.
Right. And even you. It's a hard one, that. I had to check that just to make sure. Right. So 15 points up for grabs. Number one. We won two league titles in the 1960s.
Correct.
Number two, the year that Bestlaw and Charlton first played together in the league was 1964. Number three, who was United's record signing of the 1960s, which was then a British record transfer fee?
Willie Morgan.
Yeah, he's interviewed in this mag. Who did United play in the first league game, in the first game in the second division season? Took thousands.
Leighton Orient,
Ben. You're good at these quizzes, aren't you? Number five, what was our highest league finish under Big Fat Ron? Third. Right, you're allowed five either side. How many league goals did Cantona score in his United career? It was 64. And everyone was beautiful. Number seven, who won the Sir Matt Busby Player of the Year Award for the 89-90 season?
Hughes.
No. Oh, Gary. Pallister. That's a hard one, that. In the 1980s, this is four players scored on their competitive debuts. Name two of them. Gordon Strachan, Peter Barnes,
yeah.
Neil Webb, which is the fact of the one you might know, and Danny Wallace.
Yeah, poor Wallace.
Number nine, for which team did Dwight York sign for? Blackburn. Number 10, who was top scorer in the successful 2017 Europa League competition? Nick?
Marshall?
Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Oh, really? That was my second guess.
And 11, who did we sign in the summer of 2006, 2007?
Carrick.
Only paid signing. And what a signing he was. Right, three of the own goal scorers. So you've got Bill Foulkes and Nobby Styles on 5, Mark Jones 4, Henning Berg, Shay Brennan, Wes Brown, Noel Campwell, Brian Greenough, Phil Jones, John O'Shea and Palastall on 3. So if you get any of those. All right, and who got the most? Ben, easy. What did you win by?
I got 7.
Oh, well done.
9.
Nick?
7.
Not bad, though. Yeah. Right, and that might be us quizzed out. Now, can I just go on one last tangent? Anyone listening, cover your ears. Nathan, you're going to have to cover your ears again for 30 seconds. Right, everyone who's not watched The Sopranos, cover your ears for 30 seconds. But David Chase described in a book the last scene in The Sopranos as the death scene. I was slightly disappointed he revealed it. Let us make our own minds up. I don't want to know that. Have you got any things? Ben and Nick are just looking in. No feelings?
We talked about this.
I know. Well, I could talk about Sopranos for years.
It depends how you've seen it, so I'm a bit worth the safe. It depends how you interpret it, really, doesn't it? Because, you know, it was the death of the character then.
Yeah.
So,
I don't mind ambiguity. Just leave it up to our imaginations because we can be talking about it over a pint for years. Right, Nathan, come back.
He's gone now.
He's just stormed off in disgust.
Hello.
Right, hello, Nathan. Sorry about that. Right, so now, have you seen all the stuff about Pogba might not start on Friday? What do you think?
Depends on how they've looked in training, I guess, doesn't it? That should, but then, am I really fussed if he's gonna go at some point anyway? I don't know.
He's probably not, is he? If the money's not there for anyone, I mean, if they're saying Ollie's aim is for Pogba and Fernandes to play, he's excited for that. How are we going to change the side around in the system?
To fit them both in.
Mm.
You'd imagine that Fred would be the one that would give way, really, as good as he was last season. I'd be surprised if McTominay isn't a starter. But I suppose
both called it last season there, Ben. They called it last season then.
With Pogba, I suppose it's got to be a clean slate, hasn't it? I mean, like I say, it is the same season, but after 3 months off, it's effectively a new one. And if he's there and he's been performing in training, then you give him a go. But
what would you pay if they were all fit? Would you stick with the system he's been doing? 2 out wide, tucked up. Or would you change it completely and go like 4-4-1-1?
I think you've got to tell him that he's got to get back in. I think, that midfield 3's done a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
Even 4, really, with, McTominay, Matic, Fred. Matic was playing pretty well, really, before lockdown. We've seen some of the best football.
Yeah, Matic was playing well.
If not over 18 months or so.
Yeah, that's true.
Realistically, you've got to make sure that he gets back in it, and I think that's the kind of midfield 3 or 4 with McTominay. I don't think he started with Derby, did he? He came on out, but he did. You've got to make sure that he gets back in that squad, and it's one of them with Pogba. Is it going to be an advantage for him because everyone else has had a break and he's already been out, or is he going to be set even further behind because he was already out before the lockdown? So quite intrigued to see that, but I think just sticking straight back into the team.
Yeah, but it is a totally new. That was.
The thing is, it's been off for so long. It's not like anyone has been playing recently. It's a clean, it's a fresh start.
It's 3 months since the game.
On the training, like Nathan says, but my worry, I think it'd be an interesting one because I think on one hand, him and Fernandes could really complement each other, But I would worry that Pogba coming in, you know, could potentially take away from the impact Fernandes has had. So that'll be interesting to see whether those two actually work together. And that's probably one of the things that Ollie's been looking at in training.
Yeah.
You know, are they sort of gelling together or not?
But I said to you before, the one, I know they're only highlights, but, and it was, you know, whatever this pre-season of a thing is, but Rashford looked really sharp in the highlights. And that, I'll be interested to see now, because he's, you know, he was off, what sort of, we should be starting to see him showing a bit, you know, should seeing a maturity in his play. But, yeah,
he was fantastic until he got injured.
Yeah,
I mean, there's actually a bit of competition up there now, isn't there? With him and Martial and Ighalo, some decent competition places up top now.
Yeah,
but I'm glad Ighalo's.
We've got a real option coming off the bench.
Well, I'm glad he stayed.
If we need to change the way that we play, because obviously Ighalo's got is very different to the other options, so that's good to have as a plan B, isn't it? He's obviously so buzzing to be at the club that
you
think he won't mind the fact that he's the bench player.
Coming off
the bench.
He knows
that's probably his role for the time that he's at United. So
I've watched the highlights of the goals this. Yeah, we need him, especially.
That's one of the other rules that's coming in, isn't it? That there's five subs rather than three and stuff.
Sporting integrity.
Yeah, rotation of players, so we will see, you know, some players who we might not necessarily have seen as much of before. So,
but I watched our highlights just to remember some of the goals I had totally forgotten about, and we've scored some really good goals this season, like really well taken goals. But we haven't, like Ollie's made mention of it, we haven't scored many dirty goals.
Even from the beginning of the season, that was something that I remember thinking. We were either scoring penalties or worldies.
Yeah.
We weren't scoring scrappy goals at all. There was that phase, wasn't there, where Dan James was just scoring. It was like two games, but where he was scoring really good goals, and the only other goals that we seemed to be scoring was penalties. But I feel like now that we have got someone like Ighalo, we are more likely to get those tap-ins that could have made the difference where we have dropped points before.
It seems a bit silly.
That goal he scored in the last game was an absolute worldie, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was away in Austria. Yeah.
The last.
I think you're right about him, though. He'll be happy sort of being the substitute, but like you say, there's going to be enough games, aren't there? There's a lot of games, so everyone can get a chance.
That's true. Yeah.
But it seems a bit silly, you know, what would your team be? But would you go for how we finished against City, basically? You know, like James, you'd play what he's been playing before all this?
I think he probably makes way for Rashford just because of how good he's been. I do worry about James' lack of goal threat. I know he scored against Leicester. I think he scored against Leicester. I do worry about his goals for that. I like him, don't get me wrong, but I think he's a great option to have off the bench. But I think if Rashford's fit, he can't not play him.
No, you can't play Rashford,
If he's 100%, you just can't play him.
Yeah, but then.
James looked dead on his feet at the end of last season. He looked dead on his feet, so I mean, I think the break will have done him good. You know,
Yeah, but Nick, then you're saying you can bring Rashford in, so why can't you bring Pogba in then?
Because that midfield three is really working. I don't think James was necessarily working in that role. You put Rashford in there, so it's a massive upgrade, whereas you put Pogba in there, as bad as it sounds, I'm not entirely convinced he is a massive upgrade at the moment. We don't know. Which Pogba are you going to get? Do you get a Pogba that played against Rochdale? Or do you get a Pogba that's just at the City away? There isn't a big move out there for him this summer, you wouldn't imagine. You know, no one's going to be splashing big sums of money around after what's gone on. So you know, it's in his interest to knuckle down, really, isn't it? Because I think whether he likes it or not, his future's at United now for another year or so.
Yeah.
So, the, you know, the question with him has always been his attitude, hasn't it? It's not no one's questioned his ability, but his attitude's been wrong. So if he can get that right, which it's in his own interest to do so, then he's probably too good a player to leave out long term. If it looks like it's going to be here for the next year, then you know, try and make it work, haven't you?
But I've
he's
asked.
He's going to cross the benches. He's going to play some part.
Yeah, but I've asked this before, Nick, and I mentioned it in the mag. But will we be the same type of football fan now this is coming back? Are we going to be moaning about misplaced passes? Are we going to return back to?
I think
what we were.
It will happen. It will eventually.
Look at the FA Cup, and if someone's there, if Pogba's got a chance to play through ball and he decides to shoot from 25 yards and play an easy pass, you're going to be screaming about if we get knocked out to Norwich. So don't give me that bullshit at all.
All right, yeah. No, I get that. But I just think I've got visions of like
10 minutes on Friday night.
I've got visions. There's a global pandemic. You know, there's still 200 people a day dying, and there'll be someone arguing about Anthony Martial at 11 o'clock on Friday night. And I don't know. Maybe I'm saying that now and fucking talk to me.
I didn't mean that. Talk about Martial right now.
Talk to me at 9:20 on Friday night, and I'm cursing and that. But I don't know. Where I've got an enthusiasm for the game, United to come back, I just don't have. I don't want to get caught in. You know the way we were. I don't know. Maybe we need it. Maybe we just need that shit to sort of rebalance priorities again. You know.
I think there'll be a more perspective, won't there, generally from people. But you know, having said that, it doesn't. It's not real life in a way, is it?
No.
You know,
well, Phil Jones is injured. Phil Jones is injured again, so it does carry on in the same vein, doesn't it? Things just... They just do carry on. But thinking, out of that underrated United players, Louis Saha was underrated, wasn't he? He was great for us in that little spell. Ben might be, he might just have disappeared. Would you have that?
Yeah.
Who would you have?
Yeah. Go on.
As your little underrated players in United times.
That's Fletcher, isn't it?
Fletcher. Can you just let Fletcher go?
I can't. I thought he was brilliant for us.
Yeah, but he was hardly underrated. People fell in love with him in the end. He did at the start.
He did at the start. Even so, I think he started to get a bit more appreciated, but I don't think he was appreciated as what he was. You know, he was never compared to, not compared, compared to Scholes or anything like that. But, you know,
Jesus Christ. Do you...
you know what? It was a bad comparison. It's the first thing. he was an important part of that team, wasn't he? He was great.
Do you ever shout out Fletcher's name at night, Nick?
Sometimes.
Nathan, give me a name then.
Oh wow. Nick's mine.
See, it's like he's got a fan club here, you know.
Do we tell you about the time we met him and scared him?
Just about 4,000 times. I've seen the photos about 5 million. I'm surprised you haven't got them in your framed in your house somewhere.
It's a good idea that actually. Let's do that. Ask the next question and I'll have a think of someone else.
I'm trying to think, do we have any more questions? We're a bit blind with this preview in a game that we don't know how we're all going to feel, how we don't know how they're all going to play, how we don't know what it's going to be like. It's going to be embarrassing, isn't it?
I'm genuinely looking forward to it.
I don't think I'm going to have the sound on.
It's my birthday on Friday, and so I've never really been able to watch United on my birthday, so that'll be nice.
Yeah.
How funny is that? Because the City game was on my birthday, and this game was on yours.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I won't be getting into either games, will I, Nick?
Well, there we go. It's not a podcast that goes
back. So So if the weather's nice for my birthday, like Nick's and a few others might come round to the back garden, I'll have the telly in the back. And it's like was it 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When we were at uni, we did a similar thing and had the telly in the back garden whilst the it was the South Africa World Cup watching Jesus. Some ridiculous football.
Oh, to be doing. So, I wish I could join you, lad.
Hopefully the weather will be nice and we can do that again.
I did say, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we stayed up, me and old Paul, after a game this season and had a well-known red in with us. And he came in at, we'd crashed at about 1:30. He came in at about 4 in the morning and he shouted out, World War III's have started, World War III started. And he woke us up and he said, I have mentioned this, haven't I? So America's bombing Iran. And my first thing, I did actually check on Sky if a world war, and I said to the wife tonight, I think the world went batshit crazy. There's like a sliding doors moment that maybe the fucking World War III did happen and I haven't been told this. But nothing in the whole world has been right since that moment. Hello, Ben. That's it. You've not missed much, to be honest, Ben. What's an unsung United player for you in recent times?
An unsung?
Yeah.
Oh, unsung.
Unsung, yeah. Sorry, my shitty language.
How far back are we going?
For in your supporting time.
It's a tricky one, I think.
Hmm.
Because if it's obvious, then they're obviously not unsung.
Well, I say, think of someone like Park, but I mean, he did get quite a lot of credit for the role.
I was going to say Park.
I say Louis Saha. I think he was great for a little period for us.
Yeah, he was.
I think the role does, like, especially like we like Nick said Fletcher and like saying Park. It's like the proper hard working ones, isn't it? It's the ones that it's not necessarily there's no frills to it. It's just the proper. Do the job, and it sort of it does sometimes go under the radar, doesn't it?
Like Jesse Lingard, then.
yeah.
Works his socks off every game. Industrious. Yeah, but Kanchelskis was hero worshipped. Ben. Sorry, Nick. Kanchelskis was hero worshipped for a time. I will say, quick plug for the mag. I've got a belting story. A lad who was just a kid the night we won the league, the night before Blackburn in 93, he was in the house and he sent some photos. He spent that night as a kid in the house with all the players celebrating the first title, so he's written about it. So we haven't met that many orders for the next mag. I know it's not going to be out till August, but if you can, we've got a lot of good stuff. The Fabio da Silva interview is brilliant. Thanks to everyone supporting the sub-campaign. Right. I'm going to end it, you lot, because none of you will sing We'll Meet Again. So I've asked Leon of Black Sonic Revolver to play it out, because I've got to fucking hear it one time on this. So your last thoughts, you three.
I don't know, I think. Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to Friday. Just, I know it's a very unusual normality, but you know, it's like I say, it's better than nothing at all. And I don't know, I think it, you know, we've said that we might have some sort of like virtual beer afterwards, and
is that what we've become?
We're getting there. We are.
The things are better. You sounded like Dominic Rabb then, the new normal of football, Nathan.
Sorry.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm just intrigued. I just hope I don't know if you're going to get as into it as much as you probably would do when you're watching football. Obviously, it's hard on the TV anyway, but without the fans there, I hope he just doesn't have that. I don't know if it's going to have that training feel or if you're going to get well. Like you say, some of this place, they'll pass after 10 minutes, how angry you're going to be or whatever. But I'm just intrigued by it all. I'm just looking forward to having some players that I know and a squad that was on a little bit of form. Before all this,
how it's
going to keep
going,
because we've lost ever since we got Bruno.
What's that, Nick?
I don't think we've lost ever since we've got Bruno, so I mean, it's, you know, it's, yeah, we get all that, don't we?
three goals conceded in whatever, over 10 games, wasn't it? Oh, Ben, show me Scholesy the cat. That's not a euphemism. Last thoughts, Ben? Hang on, Ben, your sound's... I think Scholesy's affected your sound.
Sorry, yeah, I was just going to say, I think when it will start to sort of bite, we're not there, it's probably like, we've got a real good chance in a couple of those, in the two cup competitions.
Yeah.
And I think if we were to get to either of those finals, like, which I hope we will, but winning a trophy, which is such a big moment, you know, always such a big moment in the club's history, and not being able to be there and witness it, or celebrate with your friends, I think that's when it's going to feel really kind of strange. Well,
there could be the bizarre situation that we could have a travel bubble with Germany. They have the Europa League games in Germany over a 2-week period. We're allowed to travel there. We're allowed to drink there, but you're not allowed to go into the games.
Yeah, bizarre, isn't it? You might as well just let everybody into the game.
Another one to ponder. So we're all agreed, Rashford for Prime Minister, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? I hope there isn't any of the typical, you know, like, if he misses a few, there's no one going, oh, he's had his mind.
I think I said it this morning in the group chat. It's just, you can tell that he genuinely gives a shit and he genuinely means it. And I think, I said it, I don't know if I said it in our group, but I don't know, it feels genuine. Like, I don't know, sometimes maybe other examples, like, say, David Beckham or something, like, he did a lot for charity, but then part of it was always, is he doing it for self-promotion as much as, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It sort of, it looks good to be doing sort of that. But from what I've seen of Rashford's interviews and stuff, it's like he genuinely gives a shit.
Yeah, he's got a great head on him as well, hasn't he?
He kept going, didn't he? Like, yeah. He's got out of our statement, he's done all that other stuff. And the other day, he was like, this isn't over, and he kept going.
Yeah,
kept going.
We're not stupid. He's obviously got a very good PR team around him and management team, but he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't be doing this unless he cared. And if you can't care about kids having some food on the bloody table, then...
That's the thing, that's the situation he came from, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so predictions, lads. I'm going 0-0.
I think there will be goals, but I've no idea who for.
I need to look at the table again. I think we're 5 points off, aren't we? But
yeah, there's two big games, isn't it? Because obviously we've got Spurs and then Sheffield United's a big game.
Yeah.
Open and around us, aren't they? Spurs are 4 points behind us. Sheffield United are 2 points behind us, but we've got a game in hand. It's like Sheffield United game.
It feels weird putting in our football clothes again, like start looking at tables and fixtures, something that we've just done all our lives and then we've forgotten about.
I looked at the table for the first time this morning or yesterday, and sorry to mention this, but I couldn't believe how far ahead Liverpool were. Like, 25 points. What the fuck's everyone been doing all season? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Ben, please, we went through the whole podcast without... even contemplating that world.
As Ben said earlier about how it would be horrible for us to possibly go on and win cups and not be able to celebrate and win, then, you know, there's always that.
Yeah.
For them, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, go on then. Who didn't give a prediction?
Me. I think when the season stopped, however many days it was before we played that game, I would have been really confident going into this game at that point in time. It's hard to predict now, really, isn't it? Because they've had a chance to kind of have a rest when they were in bad form. They've got Harry Kane back. I'll go for 1-0.
There's one positive, though. If we think we've had it bad during lockdown, all they've had is Jose Mourinho to listen to every night. So they'll be so fatigued of just having Jose watching them on videos and apps. It'll be like, God... All right, cheers, lads. So we'll speak after the game. Cheers, lads. Take care. All right,
see ya.
Bye.
Cheers, buddy.